This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 36-10 at Soldier Field. And what a day it was. It is Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you on this Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Got some victory chicken here. My wife put it in a Tupperware for me. Shout out to Wifey for doing that. But that's what we're going to be doing, man. Everybody's feeling good today. I'm telling you. All Bears players are sleeping well, even though they know they're leaving early to go to London. Sleeping well. Get the victory. Feeling good about yourselves. What does Caleb Williams do after a victory like that? Where do you think he goes? You think he goes to a restaurant downtown? Or he's not there yet, Tyler? When you're thinking about Caleb Williams, like, is he an RPM guy going to go get some steak afterwards? Or is he going to his $15 million house up in Lake Forest and having his private chef cook for him?
I would say the second one.
The latter.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing. Damn, that sucks. He's not there yet. I say maybe like in 2 years, he might go out, have a little private room in the back. Go to the Clayton. Should I say this? I went to the Clayton. The Clayton's a cigar bar, a members only cigar bar in downtown. Kind of by River North. I'm trying to think, what's the name of the place? Something Italian? RPM Italian is right there, I believe. Anyway, went there. These people have private rooms that they go in. That's how they get that. That's how they get to that stuff. So I'd have a big ass steak if I went too. I just make them do a private room for me, and I just go in like the back entrance or something like that. I don't want people to see me. But like me and 12 people are going to be back there, and I want you to give me a discount as well. I want you to do something like that. But we'll hear from Caleb Williams in just a second. Would love to hear from you guys, 312-644-6767. A game like that, Bears over 500, could have you saying the P word. Playoffs. Where they're at right now, Bears currently sixth. If the season ended today, they'd be playing the Atlanta Falcons in week one of the wild card games. And I'm curious, do you think they're there yet? I said I was going to say something about DeAndre Swift before the break. Is he being overworked? We just went from the first couple of games of the season where it looked as though the running game was trash. Who told me? I think it was Marshall Harris. Oh, Harris, Bernstein and Harris. He told me that DeAndre Swift is simply a third down back. And I said, Marshall, come on, that's ridiculous. Then he's seen his usage over the last 2 weeks. 21 carries today. Catching out the backfield. Considering his injury history, that's why I'm bringing it up. Are the Bears setting themselves up for a sort of disaster by leaning on him too heavily? Should they start working in a Khalil Herbert? Yeah? That's interesting, but it depends. It goes back to your identity. If you are a passing team, which we don't want to admit it, but that's where the Bears are heading, you need someone that can block. And that's the one knock on Khalil Herbert. Do you think he'll make it past the trade deadline?
Yes.
You think he'll still be a member of the Bears at the trade deadline? Because let's not forget, Ryan Poles, 2 for 2. 2 seasons as the GM, this being his third, and 2 trade deadlines where he actually moved somebody.
I think he'll have a thought in the back of his head, maybe due to injuries, potential injuries, keeping Khalil Herbert. That'll be the reason why I'll say he stays.
Okay.
But great point, though, about the trade deadline. Kind of a thing that goes under the radar. You know, coming up in a few weeks, we're going to be talking about that. But yeah, Ryan Poles has made very, very notable moves each of his first 2 trade deadlines.
Yeah, you saw Chase Claypool come over year one, middle of the season. And then last year, it was Roquan, right?
Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn were traded away the same year as right. Chase Claypool.
Oh, Chase Claypool.
And then same thing. Montez Sweat.
No, Montez Sweat. That's what I was thinking about. November 5th is the trade deadline in the NFL. So there'll still be some things that are happening, you know, a little bit after that. So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what ends up happening in that situation. But, I mean, DeAndre Swift is looking good. People forget he was a Pro Bowler last year. And I try to tell people, I said, man, he could have a Pro Bowl season. If he keeps this up, he's definitely going to the Pro Bowl.
Only 25 years old, and he's been in the league for what, like 5-6 years already?
Right, and people complained. They said, hey, well, when he was in Detroit, he was splitting carries. Yeah, so what? They had two good running backs, Jameson Williams. He's in the Saints now. So, I mean, they had two good running backs. So, and then he goes to the Eagles, and, I mean, he can't help that he was playing behind a good line, and, you know, they had multiple threats. It's not his fault. But for this Bears team, he has proven that he's exactly what the Bears wanted. Scat back, that is explosive, that can hit that big play for you. It's a lot of interesting things. I have these, before I play Caleb, these are my five big thoughts. I write these down while I'm watching the game. And I was at the game, so I had to go back and watch it again. So here's my five thoughts. Is Caleb Williams ready for divisional play? We know he had a stellar game today, right? But is he really ready to compete in this division, a division that is the best in the NFL right now? Every team in the division is over 500. Sam Darnold, with countless amounts of time to throw the ball, is slicing up defenders. Jared Goff and that offense, they have a newfound confidence, oddly. Oddly have a newfound confidence. And then, of course, the Green Bay Packers trying to right the ship, as they did today against the Los Angeles Rams. It's a tough division. He threw for over 300 today. I'm talking about Caleb Williams, but obviously Panthers, bottom-tier team. So when he faces the top defense in the NFC North, like Detroit or Minnesota, can he still thrive under that pressure? Or are we going to be having different conversations here on 670 The Score following a game like that? Because I think Caleb Williams has yet to be exposed. We haven't had a moment like that yet this season.
You're not counting that first game?
I don't think he was exposed that game.
Just learning curve. Big learning curve.
I just think it's first game of the season.
Okay.
Right? Like for everybody. For Shane, Flus, first game of the year.
Do you see a defense coming up on the schedule that is going to throw the kitchen sink at him that will maybe challenge or potentially expose
him? It's a
great
question. And it's the caveat there is to not be afraid to throw the kitchen sink at him, right? Because that's the part where it's like, okay, I could do it, but is he going to tear me up downfield? Is DJ Moore going to have one-on-one coverage? I think it starts with Jacksonville.
I have a team in mind that down the road will definitely try to throw the kitchen sink at him.
Yeah. San Fran is going to do it. Green Bay is going to do it. Minnesota. All three teams in the NFC North are going to do it.
That was my Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota was the biggest blitzing team in the league last year. They tortured, I don't want to say, JF. They tortured JF. I'm not going to say the full name.
Yeah. There you go. Good one.
They're going to do it again.
I'll say this, and this is what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. A play that I've called for specifically that they ran several times today, and it was successful, is a simple draw. Drop back. Let that pressure come and allow DeAndre Swift to then, you know, make his way to the second level past the defensive lineman. They did that several times today, and it resulted in positive yards. So as long as that's in the repertoire, I'm cool. If you can keep the pocket open, keep those edge rushers on the edge and allow DeAndre to get up the middle, or you see how comfortable Caleb Williams has been over the last couple of games dumping it off. Okay, pressure, fine. Yeah, I know it's coming from right here. I'm definitely going to throw it right here. I don't care if he's going to get 1 yard or 10. I am throwing the ball. So I think that'll be good. But I think Jacksonville will be the first team, you know, where the Rams kind of sat back. Carolina, they play that shell. Jacksonville is going to try to get after it. They understand that they're going to have to do something different. You cannot allow Caleb Williams to sit in that pocket. He will make you pay, as we saw with the two connections to DJ Moore and even the one to Cole Kmet down the field. So he is capable. And I think he will do that. But again, I'm curious if he's ready in the present. Some people would say yes. And you feel good about what Caleb Williams has done. What do you think? 312-644-6767. 630 says Caleb should have been 21 for 29 if DJ would have caught that ball that was right in his hands. That's how it happens sometimes, right? You're a top-tier wide receiver in the league. You catch contested balls against top receiver cornerbacks that are blanketing you. And then you get the pass with nobody around you, you jump in the air, and you just can't come down with it because you're probably shocked that you're that wide open. But yeah, certainly could have been 21 for 29 in that instance. So yeah, it's Caleb Williams ready for divisional play. Dot number two I have, as I mentioned it earlier, is DeAndre Swift being overworked. Are they leaning too heavily on Swift? Should Khalil Herbert get more opportunities? Some would say that DJ Moore needs to be doing more. More. Buck 50. 10 catches. I'm saying, I'm just reading Twitter, Bears Twitter. Right? You're happy about a DJ Moore, but can the Bears get even more out of him? Caleb's spreading the ball around, right? We know that. But who's the most dynamic playmaker on the roster? It's DJ Moore. Where's my end around? Where's my wide receiver screen, which we didn't see a lot of yesterday, right? Because, I mean, the Bears D, they're going to give up points. They're in the bottom half in terms of yards allowed. So if the defense can't hold up their end of the bargain, the Bears got to put up points, so they need to lean on someone often and early. And DJ Moore could be that guy. Coach Eberflus and his defense, the defensive schemes are holding up. Bears had 4 sacks today. I think Flus has enough to disrupt, in his bag, disrupt high-caliber offenses. Whether it's the blitz, because we've seen him, right? If I got to get pressure, I'll make the halftime adjustment and I'll dial up the blitz. You saw Kyler Gordon get to the quarterback today, had his half sack with Jerron Dexter. But how's the defense going to hold up when the Bears face elite teams? That's going to be interesting to see. Because, right, this isn't going to be the blueprint for every game. Right? So when they do face good teams, what is that script going to look like? I am curious. Will the defense falter against a consistent running back that has a good offensive line? An area they've struggled in so far this season? As I mentioned, right? Tony Pollard, week 1. Joe Mixon, week 2. Jonathan Taylor, week 3. Now, Chuba Hubbard yesterday. All 4 getting long runs, 3 of the 4 for touchdowns. So what is that going to look like? The secondary, Jalen Johnson, people aren't even throwing him the damn ball. So what happens if somebody tests him? And then on the other side of it, in the event the Bears get down, can they come? Like, these are the games that I want to see. I want the Bears to win on Sunday against the Jaguars, but maybe they're down 20-17 with 3 minutes left. And I get to watch Caleb Williams have a 4th-quarter drive to give the Bears the victory, kind of the same way Dallas did today against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am excited to see new scripts unfold before my eyes as the season continues to play out. I'm excited to watch the growth and maturation of Caleb Williams week in and week out, and understanding how you won today's game is not necessarily how you're going to win next week's game. Everything is going to be different. But Caleb Williams conducts himself in a very strong manner. You see it at the podium. I'm going to play him right now. I want you to pay attention to the first question gets asked, and then pay attention to what Caleb Williams says immediately following the question. He doesn't answer the question first, but it just goes to show you he wants consistency even at the podium.
Everybody's commenting on how the win is such a factor today, and like, just how did that affect the passing game? It didn't seem to have much effect on your accuracy at all.
Yeah. First of all, how's everybody doing? I'm good. So the win today was weird because at certain times it was blowing that way, but the opposite side was this way. So multiple times after when we had TV timeouts or anything like that, I would spray the water bottle to figure out how aggressive the wind was and things like that. So it definitely affected. Like the first pass I threw, as soon as I was throwing it, I could feel the gust of wind, and it just kind of took the ball when Keenan ran the out or the speed out, and Keenan did a good job kind of getting his hand in the way and batting it down. Because it ended up being behind them. And it was different, things like that. But I think cutting through the wind and things like that, I don't think I've had too many issues of dealing with that. But it was definitely a factor of understanding the wind and things like that.
We talked this week about how going deep was kind of the next step after you were really efficient.
Yep.
What did that do today? What did that do for the rest of the offense?
Yeah, I mean, when you're able to be efficient down the field, and obviously we had to cold down the sideline, a couple screens and things like that, and you know, playing well with each other of short passes, good runs, you know, check downs, and then obviously opening it up and being able to hit a couple of deep balls. I think it limits kind of what defenses can do in a sense of, you know, when you're hitting on different things, now the defense is just trying to scramble and, you know, trying to figure it out. And when you're being consistent, how we were today with the run game and obviously with the pass game, and hit some explosive plays, it does good for the whole football team. It keeps us on the football field, being efficient. And then when you have those big plays, the momentum swings and things like that, So it's great for the football team, and having those momentum swings and being able to keep it with the team that we have in defense and special teams and offense, you know, us playing together and playing like that, you know, you're going to win a lot of games.
You mentioned the second touchdown that you hit the DJ. He said that you guys were waiting on one like that. First, what did you see in the matchup there with him singled up? And second, how bad did you want to hit one of those for him?
Yeah, I've been wanting to hit one of those. DJ is such a special player, and y'all saw it today. Him making plays, I think at one point he was 100 and something for a couple catches and things like that. So having a special player like that on your team, you obviously want to give him the ball, let him just be DJ and be special. So it felt really good. We were super excited. We get to the sideline. We both, like, finally, we were able to hit something like that. So the coverage pushed over. When I made the check to the right side, you know, DJ did a good job keeping it skinny, getting on the DB's toes, and then keeping it skinny. I saw the safety push over right before the snap when that happened. And they were adjusting to, you know, my check that I made. And then saw it happen. You know, safety pushed over, and then you know, DJ obviously did a great job and made a great catch.
He's such a jack of all trades as a receiver. To see him on the receiving end of that deep ball, does that unlock another level of this offense for you?
Yeah, definitely. Just us getting comfortable, us you know, seeing what we can do, type of pass you can throw to him. You know, he made a couple awesome passes or catches this week in practice, and just building the confidence and trust between each other, and trust in this offense between everybody, offensive line, running backs, protection, the routes, and what depth they're running it at, how many steps, and things like this, things like that, going through reads and a bunch more. So just we need to keep building, keep going. Obviously, great win, but definitely not settled on this.
You mentioned the sideline pass to Colt Kmet, and he was telling us in the locker room that he just was hoping he would catch it because it was like a slider coming in because of the wind.
Yep.
If he had turned a little bit, he probably could have scored. Were you having the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he made a great catch. The wind kind of caught the tail end of it, and it kind of wobbled on him, and great concentration by him. You know, corner or nickel bit on the route we had going to the flats, and saw it happen. Tried to, you know, juice it in there a little bit because it was a little bit longer throw, especially on that side. The wind, I guess, kind of drops in and then just pushes the ball. And, you know, Cole did a great job catching it, getting down.
I didn't mean to cut.
No, you're all good. All good.
What did you think of the play where you got hit out of bounds up in the air by Nick Scott?
Yeah. Got hit in the air, thought it'd be a flag. I think I was out of bounds for a good little bit. Didn't happen. Got up, you know, play football.
Did you ask why it wasn't a flag?
I didn't ask. I just kept going. Just kept trying to play football, help the team go score, and you know, we did a good job keeping the ball in our hands.
Caleb, before you were drafted, you talked about the idea of the excitement of going to a team that's picking number one, but in a good position there as a franchise. Like, to be in this spot, 3-2, you get a win here. What's the feeling for you as you guys kind of build forward?
Yeah, we definitely, the games even that we lost, we were right there. Most of them were just small details throughout the game that we were missing. And I think after those losses, and even after, you know, this week and the week before, these wins, us understanding, the leaders and things like that, understanding. We got a lot of room to get better. We got a lot of things that we need to fix. Like this week, I think it was Thursday, we didn't have our best practice offensively. The next day, leaders met kind of a little bit walking off the field on the offensive side and said we need to be better tomorrow. We came back the next day locked in and focused. And obviously understanding the situation and us just, pushing each other for that next day. And it led into the game, I think. So like I always talk about, the personality and things like that of the team is going to continue to grow. But, we're excited. We understand we got to keep growing and keep progressing. But definitely excited about being 3-2.
You guys had to look at each game. We look at the steps of each game here, five games in. How close does this style of play, way that you played, look to the way you envision yourself playing in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is understanding, and I've talked about it multiple times, understanding what the team needs and taking what the defense gives you. I think today we did that. I think today overall, us as the offense, I think we did a tremendous job of when we needed the big runs, we needed the screens, when we needed the explosive plays, whether it was after turnovers or three and outs on defense or defense holding them to this and that, and us getting back on offense and playing well together. I think that's definitely how we want to play. Definitely what we envision as an offense and things like that, and as a team, we've got to keep doing it.
Caleb, you guys head to London now. What do you think might be some of the challenges that come with this week, and what are you most excited about?
Yeah, I think it's not my first time going out the country, but first time playing in a place like this. So I was checking out the game a little bit early on, the Vikings and Jets and things like that, and they showed a couple cool pictures and things like that of that game, and just excited to go and play there. Overall, I know those games are always packed, and so we're really excited. And then what was the second part of that?
Just any challenges you think maybe?
Yeah, definitely. You got to go out there, and I think it's a 7-hour time difference in London, maybe six. So, yeah, six. Just adjusting that as fast as possible. I know the team and everybody's going to have and show us and teach us ways to be able to adjust to that real quickly. So we can, because obviously sleep and recovery is super important and for everything, mental, all of that, to be able to recall all these plays that we have and be able to go out there and win. So I think that's the biggest challenge is the sleep and things like that. And, we have to do a good job with that.
You talked about the passing game, keeping defense honest. The running game's been going too. Talk about how you felt the impact of that helping you guys out.
Yeah, that's always something that that we'll need to be able to throw the football, to be able to move the ball and things like that, is that run game. And following those guys up front is where we're going to keep doing. What we're going to keep doing is following them. Everything starts with them. Everything is going to end with them. I tell them that in big moments or 4-minute drives or 2-minute that, it's all on y'all. It's nothing to deal with us, with the special guys, the wide receivers, the running backs. It's always the offensive line. They're the biggest part of the offense. I think today in these past couple of weeks, just building off of everything, whether it was a loss or a win, we need to keep building, keep progressing. They did a great job today. I told them that at the end of the game, that they did a great job in protection, the run game, and all of that. So it always starts with them and ends with them. Awesome. The Bears.
And that's exactly what I was talking about. Caleb Williams, QB1, stepping to the podium. Some text messages coming in, 773, saying, I admire Caleb's attention to detail in every aspect of his game. And I agree. It's got to feel weird to be Caleb Williams, to come to a Chicago Bears team that has just been miserable. Miserable. We've been miserable here. He comes here. His birthday's coming up. Birthday's in a month. November 18th, 2001. Fernando, when were you born? What year?
01.
Are you older than Caleb Williams?
I am by about 5 months.
How did that make you feel? You are 5 months older than Caleb Williams, the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears.
I know. I'm not going to say old, but it's like, wow, it's kind of crazy that all these
like, what did you do with your life?
Yeah. Well, I couldn't be happier here, but it is crazy.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn,
when I was 11, playing with my friends, Caleb Williams was out like at a football camp.
Oh, like, you know? So crazy to think about.
But there's got to be a lot of pressure on a guy like that. And the point that I was really ultimately trying to make is that you are 23. Oh, my gosh. You're 22. You're not even 23. And to be able to conduct yourself the way that you have, it is very impressive. If that was your son, if that was your nephew, if that was your cousin, you would marvel at the level of success they've achieved. And not only that, but how they've carried themselves, specifically Caleb Williams, how he's carried himself throughout this entire process. From the moment he gets to the Chicago Bears and gets drafted, walking across the stage, knowing he was going to be the first pick in the draft, still hyped up as if he was finding out for the first time that he was going to be the first pick. Hyped up, let's go. You knew he was ready from that very moment. You saw it. You were like, oh my God, this guy's hyped.
Remember the draft call too. Ryan Poles is like, we have to wait till the 5-minute mark.
Yeah.
5-minute mark.
Yeah,
and he's you guys have been waiting for 5 months.
You can wait a little longer.
I love that.
I remember something else that stood out to me from Caleb Williams on draft day. When his name is called, he walks up, gets the hat, and doesn't stop. Every other draft pick after that stopped so that way they could be in that little room where it was like lights and cool and you look into the mirror. So everybody else after Caleb did that, Caleb grabbed that hat and ran right on stage. Why? Because he was ready. He's ready to roll. And that is what gets you excited if you're a Chicago Bears fan. How excited are you after this victory? And despite it being against the Carolina Panthers, what kind of confidence do you have in this Bears team to make the playoffs? 312-644-6767, 1,091 yards, 5 touchdowns. Caleb Williams in the present is your savior. Can he take you to the playoffs? I'll take your text. I'll take your phone calls after the break. 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday on 670 The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Gabe Ramirez on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
Bears defeat the Carolina Panthers 36-10 at Soldier Field. And what a game it was. Gabe Ramirez here hanging out with you till 5 o'clock. That's when Dustin Rhodes, the vested one, comes in and takes over, leading you into Mullion Hall. I got my vest on today. That's what I'm talking about. Doing my best Dustin right now. So, I want to play some audio from you guys, or for you guys. But I want to take some phone calls as well. I really want to be able to talk about this game a little bit more with you guys. If you're up, heading to work, heading to the gym, got some thoughts, things that made you happy, right? Because let's be honest, and I talked about this. Last year, you had 7 happy Mondays. The year before that, you only had 3 happy Mondays. You already have 3 happy Mondays 5 weeks into the season. So I'm curious what you're the most happy about, right? What is bringing you joy from this Bears victory on Sunday? There's a lot to talk about. A lot to be happy about. 312-644-6767. There's a lot of celebrities at the game yesterday. I mentioned Derrick Rose and the hype video that they played. Angel Reese was right in front of me. Bad Barbie. Anthony Mackie, Captain America, was there as well. Saw him walking the sidelines. Jimbo Covert was the guy that they showcased and highlighted on the field. So that was awesome. A lot of good things, but ultimately ends up in a Bears victory, 36-10, taking down the Carolina Panthers. And Dave Canales talked a lot in the post game, you know, about this Bears team, but specifically, it was great to hear him give some praise to Caleb Williams.
I just thought he did a fantastic job extending plays. We had him dead to rights a couple times. He wiggled out
of great rushes, great pressure on him. We had things covered, you know, live looking at it, you know, and he extended the play and found completions. You know, he played efficiently. You know, the first drive, like JC's got a ball in his hands. I'd love to turn that into points right there. But I thought he settled in and just, you know, played good football. And that's what they're expecting of him. I know a lot of those guys on that staff. I see this team continuing to improve weekly, you know, and they came out and they played hard again and gave us a great challenge, you know, and we were not up to the challenge today. We were up to the challenge mentally, but it didn't turn out that way, you know. So I got to tip my cap to the Bears and that staff for just continuing to push forward and really get to the heart and soul of their core, their scheme, and just the way that they play hard.
And it was interesting to hear Dave speak about the Bears leaning into the game, talking about the continued improvement from Caleb Williams. So that's why when you hear him, you know, really shower Caleb Williams with praise in that post game, it's because he saw the growth and then saw another step taken in the game in real time. And that's why he's viewing him the way that he does. Caleb Williams, 20 for 29 on the day, 304 yards, two touchdowns. Ran the ball five times, 34 yards. That's the escapability that Dave Canellis was talking about. Caleb Williams, after the game, had an interesting conversation with Megan Olivi on Fox. Take a listen to him kind of breaking down the game right as it finished.
Caleb, congratulations on an epic performance, over 300 yards, two touchdowns. You got a lot of praise from your coaches and your teammates about how you're continuing to put it together each week. What was the difference maker today?
Yeah, I think the constant mindset of just keep growing, keep going. I've said many times the NFL is hard to win in. It's hard to be, you know, a good player, a great player. And so, you know, to be able to keep going, even though obviously I've had games where I didn't like, games that, you know, I would say that are uncharacteristic, you know, to keep going, the moments that I've had, and the guys that are around me, they've been special for me. You know, their encouragement, my teammates and all their encouragement, my teammates and how they play defense, offense, special teams, you know, when the offense isn't going and things like that. And then today, all of us just kind of putting it together. It's hard to win games in the NFL, and, you know, we did a good job today.
A lot of different offensive weapons today that were able to help this team be successful. The defense also played well. It was a lot of complimentary football. And coach said the goal was to get a fast start. You guys were able to do that. How do you keep this momentum going?
Yeah, obviously you have this moment. You enjoy the win. But there's a lot that we need to build off. We had a few penalties late in the game that could possibly give that team momentum. You know, there's different things that that we've been correcting, you know, throughout the weeks. But obviously we have a lot of work to go. But obviously, like I said, to get a win and get a win like this and that margin of scoring, it's not an offensive thing. It's not a defensive thing. It's not a special teams thing. It's all of us, you know, playing well together, like you said.
I counted 23 ums. Just playing. We got to think of something to complain about from the game. It's hard. It was a good game. It felt good. I'll be honest. I even left a little early. Just a little early. People were leaving at halftime. Like, I was where I was at, you saw people be like, all right, man, I'm going to take off, man. I get out of here. You're like, what? And then by the time the third quarter finished, you just thought to yourself, like, we're just waiting to wait in traffic.
The entire second half, there was maybe like five highlights.
That's what I'm saying. It got kind of boring. Start having conversations. Well, nobody cared.
Like, okay, they had that the early stop, but then when Andy Dalton threw that long interception to Kevin Byard,
yeah,
that's when it kind of started to settle in. Like, they got this.
At that point, when they were up there.
Yeah, they're not relinquishing this lead right. Whatsoever.
At all. And it felt good. It felt good to see the Bears put together a complete game. Regardless if it was what against the Carolina Panthers, because far too often I've seen this Bears team play against teams they're supposed to beat, and it never looks like this. So I'm willing to accept what's in front of me, a good Bears victory, a good team effort, and continued momentum heading into next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you have to show patience, not only because it's Caleb Williams and a rookie, but even with your expectations for this team. Even if they do falter a little bit, if they have a couple games that are hiccups, you still have to be patient, because this is not the year. As I was telling Phil, this is not the year that you should be putting Super Bowl expectations on the Bears. So don't ask for them to beat great teams continuously. just appreciate the victories that are in front of you. And Charles Woodson on Fox pretty much said the same thing, where Bears, they need to practice patience.
I'm saving the Chicago Bears, and the way I'm going to save them is I'm just going to preach patience with this team.
Okay.
And they started it last week by doing the things that I said you should do with young quarterbacks. Bring them along slowly. They started to bring in more tight ends, more condensed formations. They ran the ball more. 52% of the time, they were running the ball. You're going to be able to do everything you want to do with this young quarterback as time goes along. But right now, let's run the football. There was more play action pass. And then to set up those little, you know, when guys aren't open down the field, you just dump the ball DeAndre Swift and allow him to make things happen with his legs. And it looked good. Now, sometimes they're going to be ugly wins.
Yep.
But they'll be wins.
And that's what everyone has been preaching. Coach Eberflus, Caleb Williams, it's difficult to win in the NFL, so you have to appreciate it. You get your 24 hours. Mine might last a little longer than that because I'm not a player. But maybe it does for you, and that's why we're happy. That's why we're joyous in the present. 312-644-6767. You're listening to The Score now because the Bears won, and you want to hear what we got to say about it. I want to hear what you have to say. What has brought you that joy after a game like that? Is it because you feel like Shane Waldron is capable? Because he's not a stubborn offensive coordinator like we've seen the last two, trying to fit a square peg into a round hole? No, he's adjusted. That makes me happy. He's like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of a softy. I'm not a hard-nosed offensive coordinator. You tell me what you want. You want that? I got you. Let's make it work. And then when you see results, then you feel good about it. That could bring you joy. Is it Caleb Williams? No interceptions the last two games despite throwing it 29 times today? Is it the connections with DJ Moore that get you happy? Or is it because DeAndre Swift is showcasing his talents not only out of the backfield, but as a pass catcher as well? 312-644-6767. Ready to take your phone calls on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. We got a star-studded lineup for you today here on 670 The Score. We got Dusty Rhodes starting at 5 o'clock. Dustin, you see I wore my vest today? I've been talking about it all show. Did you hear me when you're driving in?
It's a beautiful vest,
buddy. It's right here.
Thank you.
Thank you. I intentionally wore it when I was leaving the house for you.
My man purse.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Extra pockets is what is what I need. Dustin got you at 5, ready to give you all the stats and updates on everything that happened in that Bears game and across the NFL. Then Mully and Hall. Oh, it's great. Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Brad Biggs at 9. What a lineup. Just got to keep it there all day. And then Bernstein and Harris follow them. Anthony Heron jumps out at 11. Dan Weeder at 12. That's when the majority of you that are heading home will probably be up at that point running errands. So make sure you leave your radio on 670 The Score so that way when you get back in the car, you're hearing A-plus content. And if you're a late sleeper, maybe you need a couple of 10 hours, 11 hours. Well, at 3, 4, and 5, Spiegelman Holmes, Kurt Warner, Jalen Johnson, Mark Grody, in that order at those times. Kurt Warner at 3, Jalen Johnson at 4, Mark Grody at 5, all with Spiegel and Holmes. Holmes did a great job on the pre- and post-game yesterday. Maybe we'll play a little bit of it. We'll see. And then last but not least, TJ Edwards. He'll be on Tuesday at noon with Bernstein and Harris. Love hearing from TJ as well. Now, one of the guys that'll be on at 8 is DJ Moore. 2 touchdowns. Over 100 yards, 5 catches on the day. He had himself a game. Here he is in the locker room following the victory.
First touchdown, I had the crosser, and I just got man kind of got screened off there. What did you see on that whole sequence there coming through?
It was a big wide void over there. Roman Keenan did a good job taking the safety and the nickel out of there, and I just came across the field streaking open. A little tightrope on the sideline, usually because I didn't know where I was at, and the wind had everything going crazy. So when I caught it, and I was off balance a little bit, and then had to be athletic enough to score.
I knew you'd come really close the previous weeks. How satisfying was it to have the breakout game for the offense and for you?
It's amazing. What's this, week 5? It took 5 weeks to get the down-the-field pass game going, and, I mean, when it hits, and it was good today.
What do you think was the key to the accuracy today? I mean,
I don't know. Even that win I was surprised. Everything was on the money with us, with the ball just being in the air like that. in the win. So I was surprised by it.
Did you through that lens, the second ball that came through you, what do you see on that one?
It was just a dot. We worked that in practice. And when he threw it, I was like, man, it's a touchdown. Because I knew I crossed the corner face and there was nobody in the middle of the field. So I was like, it's my ball or it's nobody's. And 99% of the time, it's my ball.
Like you had added energy after you scored that.
I had a lot of energy. You know why? Because we wasn't hoping on that play, and we finally connected on it between me and Caleb.
Do you think this is the best the offense has clicked in the time that you've been here, that you've been a Bear?
Yes, because we're having a lot of fun doing it. So fun with fun comes a lot of wins, and with a lot of wins comes a lot of fun. So, yeah.
How much did it crush your soul on that drop?
Man.
I'm sorry.
I'm trash for that. Like, big, big trash for that. You know, what I have, I had some pretty good stats, but it could have been even better if I didn't drop that ball. I think I was getting ahead of myself. First of all, that's why I dropped it. So,
you know, like last week we heard like coaches talk about, hey, we don't need any more negative plays. Mm-hmm. Caleb goes out and it's 15 to 15 from short range passes. This week we hear, hey, we got to be able to go deep too. And Caleb goes out and does pretty well in the deep ball. What does it say about him? Just it seems like when these problem areas are identified, that they get rectified.
It's just going with the growth. We're going to have some hiccups and ups and downs. It was a lot of ups today. We just need to ride that wave of being on the ups, so everything.
DJ, the influx of film huddle that you guys have been running the last 2 weeks, do you feel like that's kind of helped you guys get into a rhythm where you can get off to a faster start?
Yeah. Yeah, we was going fast pace, so that's something that we gonna have to take advantage of. We had the defense in base when we had that drive, so stuff like that we can capitalize on with Caleb growing and the pains that he went through already. You can see that he's already learned and caught up to speed in the NFL.
You said this week that you weren't focused on facing the Panthers, but
after a game like this, after the individual performance you had, did it just feel like another game, or did it feel like it was something more?
It was just another game, but, I mean, it's the Panthers, so you can add whatever you want onto it, a revenge game, anything like that. But it was really just a special game today to get us all going on offense.
It's great to hear DJ Moore with that level of excitement, with that joy in his voice. He's such a mild-mannered person, extremely even-keeled. But, you know, when you bring up the drop and you hear him laugh, and, oh, I'm trash. I love it. I love hearing DJ Moore talk about that. And, of course, at the very end, you can't take away from the fact that he spent the beginning of his career in Carolina. So that game is always going to mean a little something, because you're going to see the colors on the other side. But the Bears are going to need more of that. More of DJ Moore. More fun. Right? More wins. And it continues next week against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags put up 37 points today. Against an Indianapolis team. Let's not forget. They gave the Bears fits. Now, obviously, it was Joe Flacco just having a renaissance game. Is it a renaissance game? It's just what he does.
It's almost a weekly thing.
33 for 44, 359, three touchdowns, no interception, a 121 quarterback rating from Joe Flacco. On the other side, the quarterback that the Bears are going to have to deal with next week is no Andy Dalton. Trevor Lawrence, 28 for 34 in a game that they needed to win. 28 for 34, 371. Two tutties, an interception, 119.5 quarterback rating. Now, he spreads the ball around. And we saw this week, Jalen Johnson, you know, had two pass deflections, but it felt like Andy Dalton, having been a teammate of Jalen Johnson, understood, let me not throw the ball that way. I told you, Deontay Johnson, the last two games leading into this weekend, over 13 targets in both games. Yesterday, 6. Says a lot about Jalen Johnson, but he's going to have his hands full next week.
You saying it's going to be Brian Thomas Jr.?
Yeah.
He's going to, yeah. After
Christian
like
Kirk's going to be in the slot.
Yeah.
Gabe Davis will be on the outside. And then you'll have Brian Thomas Jr. that you'll probably be facing. You put Tyreek on Kirk, depending on the depending on the formation, you throw Tyreek right there. And then if Gabe Davis is in there and they're going three wide, then, of course, you got Kyler Gordon. But they're going to have their hands full. Trevor Lawrence is going to take chances. So this could be the opportunity for – this could be a week where Tyreek Stevenson comes up with an interception, where you see them going the other way to Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis, four targets on the day, three catches for 38 yards. But here's something that stands out to me in this game. Granted, different defenses, so you know it's not going to be the same game. But D'Ernest Johnson, his long was 9 yards. Luke Farrell, his long was 11. Brenton Strange, his long was 12. Tank Bisbee, 28 yards. Gabe Davis, his long was 21 yards. Travis Etienne out the backfield, 14. Christian Kirk, 61. Brian Thomas Jr., 85. You're talking about big plays for this offense via the pass. The Bears are going to have their hands full on Sunday. Tank Bigsby, after having one catch for 28 yards on a big play, he had a long run for 65. So again, I mentioned how, you know, the Bears have struggled with giving up that long run. Tank Bigsby or Travis Etienne, either or, are going to be fed. So this is an offense that can clearly put up points. This is going to be a test. I know they're what their record says, and you could say that, but Trevon Walker, 3 sacks on the day.
Number one pick 2 years ago.
See it? He's coming out with a vengeance and a pass deflection, so his hands are up at the line. Caleb Williams hasn't dealt with that a lot since the first couple of weeks of the season. Josh Hines-Allen had a sack on the day. I mean, their defense came out to play. They only punted twice. So, again, you know, this is a team that is going to give the Bears fits, but the Bears have to be ready. It's going to be a different game. The script is not going to be the same. But if it's got to start with the front four. It's got to start with the front four. Got to continue to get pressure. Somebody called in earlier and said, hey, where's Montez Sweat? I said, he's getting double-teamed. That's why Jarvon Dexter's, you know, getting loose up the middle. That's why you see Billings, because they're one-on-one in those situations. You got to shift the blocking. So that defensive line has to come through, put Trevor Lawrence in uncomfortable situations. 28 for 34, Bears will not win the game if Trevor Lawrence goes 28 for 34. And again, you just can't look at this the same way you looked at the Carolina Panthers game, where you said, oh, the Bears should win. Well, you're going to look at the Jacksonville Jaguars record and say, oh, 1-5, Bears should be, you know, should handle business, or 1-4, excuse me. But you got to look at who they played, how they fared. First game of the season, they played Tua, a healthy Tua, and a Miami Dolphins team that they only lost by 3 points.
They led the whole game.
Whole game. And they go face a Cleveland team with a good defense. They lose, then they get whooped by Buffalo, 47-10. And then Houston. So they faced sans Cleveland. Three out of the first five were against really, really strong teams.
Oh, and Houston, too. They had the lead up until 30 seconds left.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So to them, in their mind, they are not a 1-4 team. And you know how it is. Sometimes when you face stiff competition, then you come down and face someone that's not as good, you have this level of confidence. Like, hey, man, we lost to these teams, but we're not losing to these guys. And you got to be careful. This could be that trap game. Bears favored by 1.5 right now.
How do you think the Bears secondary should attack Trevor Lawrence? How do you think they should throw him off? Because like he's one of those guys that through these first 3 years into his fourth year, he's a very streaky player. When he gets on a roll, he's on a roll. But these first couple games, when he's off, he's off.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, you know, pressure makes everyone uncomfortable. You see Sam Darnold, despite their amazing offensive line, if someone gets there, you know, it's a little more difficult. But here's the things that stand out to me. Between both the running backs had 7 catches for 70 yards. So you got to keep him in that space where he's checking down. And you have to allow T.J. Edwards, which you saw, T.J. Edwards, Kyler Gordon, both made great plays on the outside with short passes. And I think that if you can do that, that's the key. Right, you got to take away over the top. Be physical with Brian Thomas Jr. He's a big boy, and he can go over the top. So Trevor Lawrence understands that, and he has no problem just giving him an opportunity. It's what he did at LSU with Jaden Daniels, and it's what he's doing now that he's built confidence with Trevor Lawrence. And so it's about getting hands on him early. Christian Kirk, I mean, that's a guy that'll just destroy you. Slant route up the middle, gets on the other side of Tremaine Edmonds. You never know what could happen there. So there's that. Luke Farrell, Brent Strange, you got to get make sure Trevor Lawrence is getting the ball to those guys and not hurting you down the field. I mentioned all the big plays that the Jaguars had this weekend, and it's something you're going to have to do. If the Bears want to be 4-2 heading into that bye week, they certainly got to make sure the front four is there and the secondary is living up to the billing that we've placed on them. All right, let's talk about this team a little bit more. Got about an hour left to go. Want to hear from you. Just waking up bright and early. You're feeling good. Why? Because the Bears won convincingly. How'd you feel about the game? 312-644-6767. My brother said he's naming his daughter. He don't even have a kid yet, but he said he's naming his daughter Caleb Romeo. We are all cracking up. He's like, she'll understand. It's like, all right. But do you feel that good about this Bears team after the victory? Let's talk about it. 312-644-6767. More Bears thoughts from you on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.